Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Blackbusters.
What's going on, family? We are back. Mm-hmm. Y'all see who I got here. Mm-hmm. Y'all see who we got here. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? This is Blackbuster, the best movie review podcast in the world.
In the world, Craig.
In the world, Craig. I'm your host, Big Ja, mm-hmm. along with my co-host.
Tony Two Gun.
Bang, bang.
Fastest draw in the West.
Fastest gun in the West. Tony Two Guns.
On Wallet.
Yes, it did. It's bang, bang. Good. Bang, bang.
Yeah, there it is.
And we have, man, the illustrious, the legend, man, my big brother, Buddy Lewis.
Mm-hmm. What's going on, Two Guns and John?
Yeah. What's going
John
on?
Two Guns.
John Two Guns.
Deacon Fry is in the building.
Man, Deacon Fry.
Deacon Fry is in the building.
Yes. Man, thank you. This is an honor, man.
Mm-hmm. Hey, man, I am humbled, man. Thank you for having me.
And I said this a long time ago when we met a while ago that it was a surreal moment when I came back home. I went to school up in the Bay.
Okay.
Went to UC Berkeley, man. And I growing up in L.A., just growing up watching comedy my whole life, you've been a part of that.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Okay. So watching you. So when I came back home and I ran into you, I forget which comedy club it was, but it was years ago.
Yeah.
And it's just a great to be able to call you and ask you to come here.
Yeah. Man,
to be
you.
In that position in life, mm-hmm. thank feel you. Like I can either look up to the idols and the guys I looked up to growing up.
Yeah.
It was like, man, let me see if he could be able to do the show. Took us, you know, I wanted to get the show. We've been rocking for over a year now. So
okay.
been,
yeah, 85
wait,
episodes.
Wait, hold on. So it took y'all a year to get.
No.
You know what?
We wanted to get the show. We wanted to get the show going.
I got you.
So we'd be sorry. You know what I'm saying? Because at first, when you ask somebody for an hour of their time to come out and do something,
you don't want to waste it.
You don't want to waste it. You want them to feel like if we can show you an example or two or three or four of our show to let people know it's a real show, man. We're trying to have people out here come out here.
Man, like I said, man, I appreciate it, man.
And you got the hardest job.
Yes.
Because you've got to be, you are in the cast.
Yes.
So you got to give cast perspective and you got to put on your film critic hat.
Yeah, yes.
Right?
Okay.
Like,
yes.
you know, so.
Yes.
You,
yes.
So you, yes. you working double time.
Okay, uh-huh. I don't mind it. I'm good.
So
good.
Let's just get to it, man.
Let's get on in here.
Let's get on in here now. Get on in here. We are doing Outlaw Johnny Black.
Yeah.
Okay.
Outlaw Johnny Black, man. Written by Byron Menz and Michael Jai White.
Yes, Michael Jai White. Shout out.
Directed by Michael Jai White.
Shout out.
Shout out to him. Stars Michael Jai White, Buddy Lewis, Anika Noni Rose, mm-hmm. Erica Ash, and many others. Tommy Davidson. And there's so many people.
Your boy
in here.
Tony Baker.
Shout out to Tony Baker, man.
Man, it's
Gary Williams.
Gary Williams, also known as Uncle Ruckus.
Mm-hmm. Uncle Ruckus, man.
Yeah, man. Kim Whitley.
He's Kim fantastic. Whitley, come on.
Yeah. Russell Peters.
When Russell Peters, yes.
It's a whole. And listen, at the very end, I don't want to spoil it, but you got two legends in there. You got Fred the Hammer and the late Jim Brown.
Yes. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
Yes, indeed, man. This is a very entertaining piece of work, man.
It's an interesting movie.
I just to see that. I remember by Michael Jai White. I think my first experience with him was when he played Mike Tyson.
Okay.
And he was most of the stuff I seen him in was drama
and
action.
And martial arts.
And martial arts. Mm-hmm. And to see him be able to lead. Well, I'm not surprised here because he did
Black Dynamite.
Black Dynamite,
right?
And even then, Why Did I Get Married?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Those things. But to see that he could do both,
right?
To see that he could do to me effortlessly. I think he's funny. I laugh at him, you know. And I definitely believe his seriousness. His commercial arts.
Bona fides is untouchable.
Yeah, right. I don't want no smoke. Nicest dude in the world, but man,
he'll whoop some ass.
Exactly.
Yes.
And to see you in here playing Deacon Fry, bro.
I met Mike. This is funny. Mike and I go back almost 20 years when I first came to LA.
Uh-huh.
Mike and I had the same manager. We were with this is crazy. We were with Topper Carew, helped bring the Martin show, and there's a lot of other managed a lot of few other careers. Yes. He brought stuff to fruition. And so Mike and I were on the same roster,
right?
You know, so I met Mike, and we used to work out at the gym. 24-hour fitness in Sherman Oaks. I'm sorry, I'm giving them a shout without them paying you.
It's part of the story.
Okay. Yep. So I met Mike, and we see each other, and you know, he would come and Mike, as a matter of fact, is related to Kim Whitley.
Mm.
I think they're first cousins. Okay. Second cousins, right?
That's dope.
Makes sense. He would come to watch Kim and I perform when we did the Ha Ha Cafe back in the day.
Right.
And I guess one night, man, I did something for Mike that tickled him, like, you know, and he still reminds me. He's like, buddy, the funniest thing I've ever seen in my name was the day you and Kim Whitley were doing something. And I, whatever I did that night tickled him that he's been gracious enough to put me in a few of his projects.
Yeah,
and so we did.
That's dope.
We did Black Dynamite, which was a man. Bro, still one of the funniest underground movies you'll ever see. I mean, and I mean on that same level with like I'm Gonna Get You Sucker on Fridays.
Yeah.
And,
it's on the same level.
A lot of people put it in their top 10.
Yeah, you know, if you get on those underground independent films,
Hollywood Shuffle,
and even the white ones like with the kid, the Pedro and all of the
Black Dynamite.
Napoleon Dynamite and all those kind of independent, just
to
gritty.
Me, those movies are on the same level as the big Hollywood films from talent, from story to this performance, hilarious. Like, if it's a comedy, it gotta be funny.
Right.
Hilarious.
And that's what Black Dynamite was, man. We had a great time doing it, just like this one.
Mm-hmm. So this brings up my first interesting question.
Okay.
For you.
Okay.
Is this, you can take this statement that I'm going to make and you could throw it immediately in the trash if I'm full of shit, right?
Okay.
Or if there's some merit to it, you can honor that merit.
Okay.
Of course, it's all love for Michael Jai White.
Right.
I think that the outlaw Johnny Black suffers from being maybe the middle child or the stepchild to Black Dynamite. Because Black Dynamite is so funny.
Right.
The expectation on Outlaw Johnny Black is that it's going to approach that level.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And it's fundamentally a different film.
True.
Right?
True. Mm-hmm.
Outlaw Johnny Black is one half comedy, satire, but the other half is true and true Western.
Right.
Right? Like, you know?
Right.
And so I think because Outlaw Johnny Black doesn't go for the funny all the way Black Dynamite does, because of its honoring of a Black cowboy movie,
right.
It's got that, it feels like it's a step below.
Yeah.
You know, because it doesn't go for it comedically like they went for it in Black Dynamite.
I feel like every scene in Black Dynamite was
comedy.
For the opening, Anaconda Beer, you know, and all that. But well, I'll let you answer before I even go further.
No. You have a good perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there is some of that due to the fact that Black Dynamite, man, was a complete satire of a genre that African-American people have all seen and loved.
True.
I think the Western genre is something that, unless you're a a real movie fan, mm-hmm. Westerns have their own lane.
Yeah, own lane.
Their own lane. Right. And so unless you were, you know, like to this very day, man, the funniest thing I ever saw was the outlaw Josie Wells. Mm-hmm. Even though it wasn't funny, when homeboy told that girl, that lady, hey, if you have to, do the old lady. I screamed. I screamed. Because it was like, hey, if you're going to rape anybody, rape the old lady. Yeah, yeah.
That's cold shit.
That's some crazy thing
to say.
Yeah, that's some cold shit.
That's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think Westerns have their own sort of lane that you are right, brings you into a different look of what it is, because the expectation is, oh, it's going to be Black Dynamite, but it's not, because the genre
is so different.
It's so different, and most blaxploitation films, aside from especially all of the comedies, were rip roaring, like either awful, silly, they were bad. In the fact that, you know, they were cheap and they were made, but you laughed at it. They were making jokes about even the poor quality of the film.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. We satire.
100%.
And it's not like that with Black, with the Outlaw Johnny Black.
Yeah.
Because it's a different
That's vibe. Why we got you here, because I was on the same page with you.
Mm-hmm.
And you just saying that makes me, I'm like, oh, damn, I didn't think about that. It's a... See, blaxploitation, I've been watching all of them, from Dynamite to Dolomite to Willie Dynamite to
the Mac
Shaft and everything.
Right.
And so this, and honestly, watching Black Dynamite, it was basically watching one of those movies, but a parody or the comedy version of that.
Mm-hmm.
And we've already been conditioned to accept anything that comes our way. Now with Westerns, there are a few.
Blazing Saddles.
That's the first one I was thinking about.
Yeah.
And but it is difficult for those who have never seen it before or even seen a Western comedy to kind of see where you kind of have to like toe a separate line than Black Dynamite is almost like a cookie cutter program to get into. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna do a blaxploitation film, some pimps, players, afros, bell bottoms, and then this I feel like it's a little higher, a heavier lift.
It starts off.
Heavier lift to get a Black Western comedy off the ground and have us rock with every single scene.
That's what I thought was interesting about this film, because it starts off in that direction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The movie starts off like the first cousin of Black Dynamite.
Right.
The jokes come really heavy, really quickly in the beginning of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But then once we get to the town, it kind of becomes a true Western.
Right.
Like it changes its pace. Mm-hmm. And then the comedy becomes a little bit less. And it really kind of becomes a story of an outlaw finding himself.
Yeah.
Right? With some kind of like humor kind of sprinkled in. And so I think, and this could be a byproduct of the marketing, but because I came into it expecting Black Dynamite's first cousin, it took me a minute to adjust and then appreciate what I was watching in Outlaw Johnny Black.
Me too.
I had to stop waiting for the joke and just had to watch the movie.
and that is the, you know, the quintessential brilliance of the movie,
mm-hmm.
that you're not sucked into just the comedy. Mm-hmm. You start following the story, mm-hmm. you know, like the story of this outlaw who has a story.
Right.
And man, that's good movie making to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you know, you're not just watching one thing the entire, there isn't one beat. And this is the interesting thing also about Mike and Byron, when they write, man, or they create a script. Like when we did the Outlaw Johnny Black, Black Dynamite,
mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how many times we had to be pulled back. Mm-hmm. Like we're going for jokes. And then he's like, yo, man, do it almost real.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to come out. And I, as a comic, I'm sitting there going, no, Mike, let me go there. And he's like, no, man, listen, bring it back and you'll see what he was trying to do, man. I can't tell you how many times, you know, because you had straight up lunatic comics on on that set. There was Tommy Davidson. Uh-huh. There was Chris Spencer. Uh-huh. Daryl Heath. There were people in there. Man, and if you went through the like Legion of Pimps, Arsenio Hall was in there.
Yeah.
There were a whole bunch of people in there that he had to, Kim Whitley, where he was like, listen, man, pull it back, make sure you don't reach.
Right.
And so the same thing happened in the Outlaw.
Right.
We weren't reaching. He was like, listen, man, I want you to keep it real, because if you play it real, it would be more humorous, because people are expecting the, expecting the over the top.
Yeah.
You're expecting Blazing Saddles. You're expecting City Slickers, but it's more subtle, and you start following the story. Yeah.
Nah, you're right.
Right. So I think you said kind of Bastard Child, and what I want to go is, I think it's just the fact that the movie's different.
Yeah.
It's a different vibe. Yeah. And also, the whole Western genre is different.
Mm-hmm. True.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just, you know, when you're looking for the story in a Western. What happened, Shane?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
exactly. You know, Bastard Son, who killed coming back to avenge,
you know,
avenge his father's death.
Right.
That's
you know, and it's very, and Mike, you don't realize, man, how Westerns are really martial arts movies.
Oh, yeah.
In the West.
For sure. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's the same old thing. Hey, you took father's rice cakes. Hey, you stole my father's cattle. You my dad's land.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's that same.
A loner
comes to town.
Yeah.
Avenges the whole town. Yeah. Protects the people. Yeah.
Exactly. What I love about Westerns is so many movies that you don't realize are Westerns, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like Kill Bill is a Western.
Yes.
For sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Like Kill Bill. Like the concept, it's, you know, she's elsewhere doing all color, and they've got all the style, but it's a Western at heart, right?
As far as the formula.
Exactly, the formula that it follows. So that's why I think that, like, they call this film the spiritual sequel to Black Dynamite. That's what I saw in a couple of taglines, and that's the only thing that I disagree with.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's not.
It's his own.
It's its own
situation.
Thing. Right. And I think, like, if you guys haven't seen the movie yet, almost like compartmentalize and put Black Dynamite into like a section of your brain so that you can watch this movie with like clear lenses, right?
Because what you'll do is you'll go, oh, this ain't as funny as Black Dynamite, and that's unfair.
That's what I did
to Black Dynamite and to this film. It's a little unfair because I think you are really, really connected, especially as Black people, to the genre itself. Black Dynamite, I mean, the Outlaw, Johnny Black is not the same, doesn't have the same connection with our community as a Blaxploitation film would have.
Yeah.
So I think you gotta kinda
Keep it 100.
Take it out and go, hey man, let me just watch this movie to watch
let me
this
just
movie.
Watch it and watch it. It.
Yeah. Right.
I'm gonna take it 100. It's not that they didn't come right after each other, but like Friday and Rush Hour.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna keep it 100. I love the Rush Hours, not the same way I like Friday.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Two different types of movies. Mm-hmm. Same character as far as Chris Tucker, very similar energy a little bit as far as Smokey and Carter.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a different movie, so I had to take out of my mind, this is not Smokey.
Yeah. Right.
This is a whole different movie.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And so like, and watching for that. So in watching Outlaw Johnny Black, I noticed. I agree. That's how I do my comedy. I like a lot of the over the top, loudness. I try to keep it as realistic as possible and find the funny in the conversation, in the dialogue, and what you're saying, or the facial expression even.
Right.
But like, and I feel like that works too. Both work. I love over the top. Mm-hmm. It works out. Just a guy, my boy, shout out to Tyree Spivey. He's over the top, stand-up comic and actor. He's always loud and very boisterous and.
Mm-hmm.
I love that too. There's a place for that for sure.
Mm-hmm. Not in an empty room at 2 o'clock in the morning.
right. Right. Yes.
That is the funniest thing to me, to see comics, man, who had that energy at like, you know, the late show at the in the belly room. They're like, you like the folks people like this, like, what's wrong with him? Why are you screaming?
You gotta choose the time and place for that.
Yeah.
Is there definitely a time and place for that?
Yeah.
A time and place.
And I love it. I love all forms of comedy. Yeah, go ahead. I'm
of
sorry.
Course. No. All good. And so when I watch this and I see one of the things I thought was hilarious, and I don't think it was supposed to be, when he started roundhouse kicking the dudes in the town doing karate.
Right.
I said the cowboy doing karate is hilarious. He had to put that in there because he knows martial arts.
Yeah, bro. Yeah.
He's a professional martial artist. Yeah. And he was like, man, let me go ahead and do
that's
some
what he do.
I thought I died laughing, bro.
And the one that had me laughing the funniest when he kept smacking the dude taking his gun out and smacking him. This Michael,
that's
he's
great.
Crazy.
Nah, that's great.
He's hilarious.
I got to ask you this because I have a part of the cast here.
Okay.
This is one of the first thing that threw me off. I was like, oh my gosh, when the Indian dude was white. I said, I got very disappointed. Yeah. I'm going to keep it 100. So I have to ask you to make things change. Right? Things could change right now.
Yeah.
That had to be on purpose, yes?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It had to be. Because back in the day, they would have white boys play Indians all the time.
That's
so I said, this must be a...
It was a gag.
Okay. I was like, Mike, there's no way.
Yeah. It was a gag.
Michael... Brother White has way more sense. If anything, get some Mexicans to play some Native Americans, but don't get. It had to be on purpose.
Oh, it was on purpose.
So that's the absurdity. There we go.
Yeah, the absurdity.
Yeah.
When I saw it the first time, I saw the white dude getting slapped around. I was like, "What's it? Why would he do that?" Mm-hmm. It took me out. It took me out.
Yeah.
And then I kept seeing them. I said, "Oh, this is." I saw more of them. I said, "Oh, this is okay. This, it has to be on purpose." If I can get Buddy Lewis to come here and tell me what's going on. Mm-hmm.
That is the subtle absurdity that you said and comedy that Mike puts in the films that you go, oh, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Hold on. Wait a minute. That was like I don't remember it. Like if you like the silly stuff you don't catch was like in Black Dynamite, Kim Whitley is sitting there crying. And a tear rolls down her face. And then if you notice on the next take, the tear's on the other side.
That's the kind of work, man,
mm-hmm. where you go, oh my God. Like there was one line where he's like, hey, little girl, what's your name? Da, 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 da. And he's like, Black Dynamite. And she's like, that's my daddy's name. Mm-hmm. And then he says to her, there are a lot of kids, daddy's name, Black Dynamite, little girl.
Hush up, girl. Hush up, girl.
It was just silly stuff like
little
that.
Little nuggets. Okay,
little nuggets. And Mike does that in his movies.
As he should.
And if you catch him, you go, it does one of two things to you. You go, that's so stupid. Or you go, wait a minute, man, that's messed up. Mm-hmm. But it was, if you understand the mentality of what he's doing, you realize.
And I promise you, after getting disappointed, I was like, okay, he did this on purpose. He's doing, because a lot of, back in the day, every African and or Spanish dude or Middle Eastern guy was played by a white boy back in the day.
Yep.
And then I'm saying a Native American in these Westerns a lot of times. So that's okay. That's him paying homage to that whole situation. It makes sense. Now I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good. there was a thing. I just had it in my mind. It'll come back to me. Russell Peters playing the Indian. That's hilarious.
That's great.
That's
a great joke.
And that's what
he's an East Indian.
That's a great joke.
Playing an
and
Indian.
And that's why I was like, oh, he's clowning. Michael Jai White is clowning.
That's a great joke. Mm-hmm. And again, like, you know, like I hate to sound like a broken record, but like all of this happens like in the first 15 minutes of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're cooking. Yeah. Right? Like we're cooking. And then again, it becomes a different kind of movie, right? Uh-huh. Like we talk about Michael's brilliance with satire, it's here.
Yeah.
This is a heavy lift because he's trying to be the spiritual sequel to Black Dynamite while also putting it in an unusual genre, which is a Western.
Mm-hmm.
While also paying homage to the Western. While also delivering a message. The movie has a message as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a serious movie. At the same time, it's a funny movie. At the same time, it's a ludicrous movie. And so it's all of these.
It's a heavy lift.
It's really in wine they call it an unusual pairing. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
This movie pairs a lot of things that you don't think would naturally go together. And I think you have to watch the movie again through a very specific lens, remove your expectation to appreciate what it is.
Yeah.
Right? I think that this movie has phenomenal performances.
Oh, yeah.
I think that Erica Ashe and Anika Noni Rose kill it.
Erica Ash,
they kill it.
Let me tell you something, man. Now, I work with Erica on The Real Husbands of Hollywood. She mm-hmm. played Kevin's wife in the, you know. Mm. And Erica Ash is one of the most underrated,
bruh,
phenomenal improv slash actresses in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, she is phenomenal. Bro, she's quick. You know, yeah, some of the stuff you see her do on, you know, on set is like, like there was one time when she, I don't know if you noticed, there was one moment where she gets mad at Mike because she realizes he's the, mm-hmm. the wrong guy.
Right.
Right. And all she does is,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Man, when we were on set, it broke the, everybody was broke down, like, okay, if she don't stop,
mm-hmm.
she is phenomenally hilarious. Yeah. And mm-hmm. I love her because she's so talented, man.
Levels.
And it's the levels.
She gave me everything. She gave me so many different types of right. performance. Like, she gave me silly, she gave yeah. me sexy, she yes. gave me innocent, she gave me savage.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when she was out there shooting that shotgun, she yeah. had the most kills. She was,
yeah.
Like, she should be in action films. Yeah. Like, yeah. She should do it. And just the fact that she was able to, because I knew that Anika Nani Rose was in it. But
she's great, too.
Right,
man.
But when she came on scene, I was like, oh, and her? Because yeah. I was already yeah. filled up with Erica Ash. Yeah. I was like, she's yeah. doing that. I'm thinking, I don't know how the story's gonna go, so I'm thinking she is the love interest.
Yeah,
I'm thinking how is she going? She's in love with this dude.
They both are.
Right. But I didn't know there was gonna be a second woman.
Yeah,
that's hilarious. Yeah.
So when I was like, oh, man. Erica Ash, first of all, for one, she's beautiful.
Right.
And I was like, oh, she's definitely the leading. She's the love interest in this film. So when you gave me both of them, I was like, oh, man. When the Anika came in,
yeah.
and the Anika gave me all performance. Like, it was no sad, no silliness.
Yeah.
It was, and that's why it's hard. It's a heavy lift because she made it feel like a drama.
Like romance. Right.
A dramatic action, romantic right. action
yeah.
film.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because their interaction between each other was so different between Bessie Lee
right.
and Johnny Black.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Was silly, funny. Yeah. I thought it was dope. Jesse Lee and Johnny Black was all like real yep. life drama. And I thought that was that's dope me, how they, and it still worked for me.
Yeah.
It wasn't as funny as a lot of the scenes in Black Dynamite because it wasn't supposed to be. It was supposed to be what this is. And I think right. it was like a rom-com slash parody slash romantic action.
Satire, right.
mm-hmm. It was everything. It was mm-hmm. a few different things. That's why it might have felt like different films
yeah.
like when it's on the Switch.
For me,
mm-hmm.
Erica Ash, like she's my MVP of the movie.
Come on, you jumping the gun. But yes.
And what I mean by that is that I was blown away by her performance.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, and right. I don't know if I had seen her before.
Right.
But I was like, oh, she's got all the moves.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, you know, like yes. every now and then you come up, like we were talking about golf before mm-hmm. the show started. I know that they're tired of us talking about golf. But mm-hmm. when you go out there and play with somebody and you're like, yo, he can swing all the clubs.
Right. Right.
He's got all the shots.
Right.
Right? Like he's good pitching. He's good from the fairway. He's good off the tee. He's a great putter. That's what I was looking at when I was seeing Erica Ash. I was like, damn, she's got all the boxes checked.
Right.
As a performer.
Yeah.
And it's this performance that like now has sucked me back into the movie.
Right.
Right? Like
right.
You know, whereas before I was like, okay.
What's going on?
Well, you know, I'm just trying to get my bearing. Yeah, yeah. I'm just right, trying to yeah. get my bearing. And it's her performance that kind of anchors it a little bit on the comedy side. It's Anika Rose's work mm-hmm. that kind of anchors it, and Glenn Turman's work that kind of anchors it on mm-hmm. the serious side,
right.
right? And so I think that like those very strategic performances, and then of course what Tony Baker and them do, then become the pillars of the movie. And right. now I'm on good standing.
And man, you know what's crazy?
And you hanging your legs out that window.
Right. And there were some other actresses, man, that were in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like my girl Wendy Davis. She didn't get to expand her, but she's just a phenomenal actress. Mm-hmm. Kim Whitley did mm-hmm. her thing, man.
Yes. That,
when I tell you, man, there were so many great moments in this film, man, mm-hmm. where people got to stretch and you got to see people work, man. And that's again part of Mike's ability not only to write but to direct, give people room to showcase what they do, but in the confines of what he wants as a director. So it was an incredible experience, man. And I'm gonna tell you something, man. We were out there. I wish I could.
Yeah, where did you shoot? Where did you guys shoot it?
We were out in a place that's this Western studio that's out in Canyon Country.
It's
north of Pasadena, going east.
Yeah.
And you had to wind your way back in there, man. And it was the craziest thing, bro, when you went back in there. You see like ranch houses. You're like, oh, dang, they got these.
These people still live out there.
People live out there. And you go, and this was what was strange is it was like, man, there's only one way in, one way out of here. Let us not set nothing on fire.
Right. Because,
But man, we, real nice place out there in Canyon Country, but it took a minute to get there up to 14 and then out.
Okay.
But it was off really, And man, you know what? There are four or five studios like this one. There are sets. Like if you look to the right, there's like a Disney or some studio that has the same kind of town slash setup. And then there are like three or four setups that are for like where they shoot disasters and all that kind of stuff out there in that area.
I think they shot Nope out there.
Out that way.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like Alba Dolce. You know what I mean? Like off there off the 14. Like I live out that way.
Right.
So, you know, so we know they're always shooting. And even though like Santa Clarita is like perfect for the suburbs, it does have that rustic, you know, where you can get off and you can get that that Western feel. You know, you get a couple of good sets.
And you put some stuff out there. You can be in a desert. You can be in an apocalyptic. Yeah, I mean, I've seen everything out there with, you know, where they have those studios all set up. So as you go toward Valencia and Santa Clarita and Canyon Country, there would be shocked. There's stuff out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you have to audition or?
You know what? I'm not going to tell a lie. No.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Mike called me.
You know, 20 years. Bro.
Yeah.
I mean, auditioning in the friendship.
It's almost a relationship. It won't be the audition.
And he gave me the script. He said, buddy, read this. I was like, oh, snap. This is crazy. When are you going to do this? And then he brought me in, actually, because he did a trailer first. He was making a sizzle reel because Mike was going to use this film. We did the sizzle because Mike, I think, was trying to start his company. I think it's called Gigantor or Gigantic Films.
Yeah.
He was going to do, this film was going to be like the anchor for him and his production company as well. So I think he ended up getting a little bit of leverage with other companies to say, hey, man, this is the kind of film we're going to do, blah, 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 based on the trailer. Because we shot the trailer, I want to say, in, it was like 2017 or 18.
Wow. Yeah.
And then he didn't do the movie until like 2019.
Mm.
So there was a gap between when he shot the trailer and then a small gap. And then, because I remember it was cold as hell.
For the trailer.
When we shot the trailer, it was ice cold. And then we went back out there, it was freezing.
Oh,
I mean, it was summer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was freezing. We shot the sizzle and then it was asshole hot when we did.
Right. I wanted asshole to say, hot. I remember when I met
Satan's ass.
I would see him a few times because he's real close to my partner Clayton in Tangerine.
Right.
And I saw him at their house one time for some event. And I've seen him a few times at comedy clubs and stuff like that. But like as far as that time, we actually met and he was like, bruh, I got a role for you in the movie I'm doing. This was years ago. This might have been when Clayton and Tangerine first got their place, their house. They bought a house out there in the NoHo. And I was like, okay, I'm with it. Of course, this is my wife, for sure.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I wonder if this was the project. This is years before, but like
man,
you said.
You know what? I'm going to tell you something. If Mike said that to you, he means it. And it might not have been either one of
these. It might not have been that one. Well, I'm waiting. I'm here.
So, because Mike is like that, man. He'll see you somewhere. He'll see something. And he'll be like, yo, man, I saw this guy. You know, because he's like man, do you know this guy that da-da-da-da-da? And you're asking him, because he has it in his mind.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to use this person. Way. And so if it wasn't one of these, and he said, I'm going to, and that's one thing, Mike is one of those genuine people, man, that I believe if he says, hey, man, I got something for you,
right,
he actually has something for you.
For sure.
And so I've been fortunate that I'm at the, I guess I'm like part of the crew. You know how you have a crew?
Of course. Yeah.
Definitely part of the ensemble.
And so I think he has things that he has in mind for me that he's going to, because like he did it, we just had a screening at his house. And I, at the end of the screening, because he didn't put me in this one, right? So I went, you know, Mike, the only thing this movie needs is more Buddy Lewis.
Right. Mm-hmm. You talking about another
he's
project?
Got another project that's coming out soon. That's like a, it's an action movie, but little comedy. But let's say like it's like imagine.
Don't trip off that NDA.
Don't say too much. No, I'm not saying too much.
All right.
But I'm just saying it's on the genre of the outlaw Johnny Black, but it's modern, like, you know, like it has a modern feel to it kind of thing. So
I love it.
Yeah. So
I was going to say that.
But if he says, and I believe it, if Mike says he got something for you, just see him at the gym or something, be like, yo, man, what happened?
Whatever. Right.
Exactly. For sure. I'm down. I'm with it too.
For sure.
John, you fit in a bunch of different genres.
Yeah.
Hey, right? Man, hopefully. Like, I could see Ja. And like playing like a goon in like a Harlem Nights remake.
Oh yeah,
man. Right?
Definitely.
Ooh, a remake.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Ooh, you want to touch that?
I can also see you being like the bad guy's muscle in a black western, right? Like you know.
And you know what, man? This is the one thing about Ja, man. People don't realize, man. You have an unusual ability to be serious.
Oh man,
and so people don't. I don't think they've had the chance to experience your range. Mm-hmm. And so I see it in the sketches where you go from being, hey, baby, you know, I just took this, you know, berserk to, you know, get out. You know, it's that range that I think eventually they're going to find things for you that you will be able to show, because that's what everybody sees as a gangster.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is when you can play the soft gangster, when you can play this ain't what you actually see, is an art.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of, like I said, and that's what I guarantee you, if Mike has something for you, it'll be something like that where you're like, yo, man, I'm playing a soft gangster. Yeah, bro, that's what I need.
Because John, you do subtle very well.
Yes,
like you do subtle very well.
Yes,
you do like measured frustration very well.
Yeah,
right. Like, and again, I think I agree. Like, and that's unusual for a man of your size,
right,
to be able to play subtle.
Right,
it's almost, it feels like an oxymoron. It feels like a paradox, right?
I agree. Yeah,
big usually goes big.
Big, yeah.
But for big to go, you know, modest in some cases,
right?
You know, like it's very interesting, especially after watching all of these films and seeing all of these different actors. Mm-hmm. It's a very unusual trait that I think is unique to you.
And man, big guys, man, I'm not a statured people, man, have this thing, man, where you have to do one or two things, man. When you walk into a room, your aura fills up the room.
Right.
So sometimes, man, you have to walk in and you find yourself making yourself small to make people feel comfortable.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yep.
And it's a thing, because like one of the things I always get is like, buddy, you're mean. I'm like, dude, I can't help it if you're intimidated by my aura, dude.
But
I've done nothing to make you, I'm not mean.
Right.
I'm not angry. I'm actually like, bro.
They call me buddy.
They call me buddy. Exactly.
They call me
perfect
buddy.
Perfect example of a.
And I tell you, man, and I say this to you, you know, as experience, don't ever get into that energy where you come into a room and you get small.
Mm-hmm.
Bro.
Mm-hmm. Nah, I feel you.
Be big.
Yes, sir.
And let these people around you get into your energy as opposed to you, hey, I'm going to make, and it's almost It's the Suge Knight thing, man. You got to come in and be like, hey, man, I want to get into you because you're so, the power, I'm attracted to the power.
Right.
And and that's the way you got to come into a room and live when you go to parties, when you go to things, when you go, don't let the, you're on set.
Right.
Don't let people make you cower.
Minimize
your aura. Because, bro, you'll do this, you don't even realize it, how subtle it is. You'll do that shit in pictures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let me get down here and get down here. Yeah, you get down there all low. Yeah, as opposed to, you know, so I say that to say, man, just don't ever bite that energy, man.
Right.
Don't bite that.
Nah, man, thank you so, both of y'all, for that.
Yeah.
I wanted to say this in piggybacking off what you said about this new movie that he has, that he doesn't have you in. One of my critiques on this film, Johnny Black, Outlaw Johnny Black, is we didn't have enough of you and Tommy Davidson and Kim Whitley.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Now, here's the thing. I think that's a good problem to have.
Right.
Because your cast is so strong, and you got so many people in only an hour and a half to tell a story. You got
telling two different stories.
You're telling two different stories, mm-hmm. and it's like you got to fit the backstory in with the the killer, the guy that killed his father, Clayton.
Clayton is the guy that owns the town.
Right.
And the killer, I forget his name.
Tom Sheely owns the town.
Clayton was the guy. You're right.
Yeah, the gun.
Yeah.
And you got, it's so many things to tell.
Right.
So many parts of the story to tell. But I'm just being greedy because I wanted more. Mm-hmm. I wanted more of Kim Whitley, Tommy Davidson, you. And because that's where the funny is.
I want two versions of this movie.
Right. That's what it is.
To keep it 100, I want two versions. I want the spiritual sequel to Black Dynamite. I want them guys going all out. Give me all the jokes from opening credits to closing credits. Right. I want that version. But I also want Michael Jai's Western.
Right.
Right? Like I want both of them.
Mm. Right.
And I think that like when we talk about wanting to see them, Tommy Davidson and Kid Willie, it's because they're in that version of the movie that stays that way. Like we get kind of like we get a fork in the road and Michael Jai just keeps going straight.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we don't go straight comedy, we don't go, you know, straight Western. He just punches down the middle. It's why the homage, the respect. It's interesting when we get to the end of the movie and Jim Brown is there, right?
He's doing a lot.
That's what I'm saying.
Bro, do so much, bro. Yeah, go ahead.
Because he's put him there because in my mind, and you would know, as a director, I made a movie, a Western, to honor these Black stars, right?
Come on, absolutely.
Which is kind of different than the DNA of a spiritual sequel to Black Dynamite, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, you can't do both.
You can, obviously, he did. That's the rub.
And you can't do both, meaning like, now I'm sitting, I wanted this, I wanted that.
Yeah.
You can't have everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And here's what I think why you don't, and I'm probably saying more than I should say, but I think Mike is going to do a prequel.
There you go.
To Black Dynamite. So it's not... Because we were joking about it, man. You need to do a. I was joking. I was like, "Yo, man, you should do a prequel." And da-da-da. He's like, "Shh, buddy, be sweet." Mm-hmm. So I think that's on his slate.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think he wants to do something because the people are clamoring for like more Black Dynamite because the character was so strong. He went from a movie to a cartoon. And so I think we like to see more Black Dynamite. This, I think, had its own lane.
I want more of this too.
But it was, I think that's what he's trying to do.
I'm greedy.
So it's a real prequel to Black Dynamite as opposed to some, abstract kind of lane, sort of, you know,
nice, crispy kind of, this is almost like it.
Yeah. Like you say, we want more of it. If this movie wasn't something to want more of, it wouldn't be this long of a conversation.
Yeah.
Right.
But because I knew you were going to be in it, I knew Ken Whitley was going to be in it, I was like,
They're
about to show out. Mm-hmm. And we got the story. The story was clear. It was crisp. I love the setup of having Percy be the reverend and then him getting killed and Black Dynamite. Johnny Black. Mm-hmm. Johnny Black thought he was dead. We thought he was dead. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm not stealing. I'm just taking your identity of a dead man to get myself out of prison.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I get it. It's dope. And he gets to this town. I would have loved for you to play Tom Shelley, even though Barry Boswick, he killed it. He did his thing.
Right.
He did his thing, but I wanted more of you.
Man,
you know what I'm saying?
I appreciate that, man. You know what? I think, I tried to have my moments, man, you know, on camera. Like there was something.
You did.
Like,
you did.
Mike told me, he said, buddy, every time he told me, he said, while they were editing, he kept hearing me go, let him lose you.
It was just
silly.
Yeah.
You know, while we were filming, we were shooting, you know, we were silly. But like, I think, man, the thing was, there are so many stories to tell that he's trying to wrap up, you know, from A to B that I think the town people were more or less a smaller part of the real story.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And so you had to I told Mike, I was mad. I was like, man, how come I didn't get more fight scene? Mm-hmm. When you're doing stuff and you see it, you always go, hey man, why wasn't I in the
do more of that.
Why not in the I think there were a couple of I did some silly stuff while we were doing the fight. You know, while the town was having the big fight, I was doing silly stuff that didn't get caught on camera. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, man, did you see what I did? Mike was, no, we missed it. I'm like, oh, man, I did so-and-so, you know? So, man, we had so much fun,
man. Of course,
And in hindsight, and looking back, you know, you always feel like, one, I could have done something funnier, or I could have been in more. But I think that was part of why I was Mike draws you back. You know, it's like, because you know you're thinking you're doing all this, and he didn't need it.
He still got to tell the story.
I still got to tell the story.
And as a writer and director, I promise you, I find myself writing character, and I got a crew.
Right.
I have a few people who I almost any project you've seen me. Create is gonna be these people also. In there,
right.
And I'm like, dang, I gotta change this up because I still got, I'm already at 100, I'm only on 60 pages already,
and I already got a service.
Yeah, so I don't want to go over it, and I've been going over. I'm writing the project right now where I'm 131 pages in.
Jesus!
And I gotta bring it down to like 85.
So I
gotta cut some stuff out, which means some of the stuff that's brilliant to me and is hilarious. Me and my boy Ken, we're both writing it together, and we laughing, we just dying laughing, man, tears in our eyes.
Like, to this very
cut
day,
some
bro,
of this out.
To this very day, I'm gonna give you another prop, John. That stuff you Barry and when y'all mix up the words, Minx, y'all.
I appreciate it.
That's just quality.
Tears, bro.
Quality.
Tears, bro. To this very day, I say, Mises, Mises.
Mises and Mises. 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 You got to call pest control.
Man. But that's the beauty, I think, that comes with filmmaking and writing is you don't actually know when you're putting it on paper, what it's going to look like until it's shot.
Yeah.
It's three different movies, right?
It's
the one you write, the one you shoot, and the one you chop up.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's always the story.
Yep. I have a question for y'all.
Okay.
For both of you, because you guys are both doers, obviously.
Right.
Writer, actor, comedian, writer, actor, comedian, filmmaker.
Right.
And so, you know, it's an interesting conversation from people that are both doing to talk about the process of doing, right? Yeah. The people that watch this podcast love black movies, love black stories. And I bet you there are some people that watch the podcast that would love to tell their own story. They that's why they watch so many movies, right?
True.
And they go, I would do that or I would write that. What's your advice for the people that haven't started yet?
that love black films, that love black stories, that want to, you know, do a black comedy or black apocalypse or black sci-fi that mm-hmm. haven't started yet. As people that have gotten off the starting block, what's your advice? What are one or two things that you would recommend for those that haven't started mm-hmm. as what they can maybe start doing today or tomorrow to start to walk that path?
Love that question. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna let you answer. I'm gonna let you answer. I'm gonna answer after you. Your answer is gonna help me go into another line of question.
Okay.
I'm looking across at one of the people that I'm sorry if you feel like I'm blowing smoke, man, but this is really real. All of these talented people who are influencers on the internet, mm-hmm. that's your lane, bro. I'm a 60-year-old man that doesn't really, man. I didn't learn how to play on the phone.
Right.
I didn't learn how to edit. In a heartbeat. I didn't learn. I'm still learning all of that. I'm trying to pick all of that up,
right,
to increase my social media presence mm-hmm. because that is the way you get down now. That's the get down.
Okay.
If you are a person that's trying to tell your story, you've got to learn how to create something for social media. And so if it's a 2-minute piece of your movie, mm-hmm. if it's a 1-page part of your script, mm-hmm. you got to take that out, shoot it. And that doesn't take you don't need to be in LA. Mm-mm. You don't need to be in New York. Mm-hmm. You don't need to be in Atlanta.
You can be anywhere.
You don't need superstars mm-hmm. to do. If you've got an interesting piece mm-hmm. and you're a film director, hey man, go to your acting class and get people that want to do something.
And right. do it.
And do it.
Yeah.
Do it. If you go to your writing class and get your actor, go to a writing class and, hey man, help me write. I want to write. I don't know how to write. Let me get with me. Help me. Bro, you've got to take advantage of what's available to you. Mm-hmm. And the phone is... Hey, bro, you can shoot a movie on an iPhone.
It's ridiculous, it's proof, right?
In the pudding,
yeah.
Bro. And you can go see it. It's all over the internet.
They shoot their commercials on it. Yes.
Bro, so I say, they got this setup, man. I saw mm-hmm. on the other day, man, the dude has got this harness where he's got his iPhone in the harness that's on a Steadicam. Bro, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, snap.
Yeah.
Bro, the technology is advancing and to anybody that's asking, well, how do I do it? Listen, man, stop asking how and go get it done.
Right. Start.
Bro, you can just start. Bro,
you can answer that question.
You go shoot yourself, man.
That's a great answer.
Bro, and I'm saying you can set a phone on a table, bro, with a mm-hmm. tripod and do a documentary about yourself.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just start, bro.
Just start. Stop asking how I get it done and go get it done.
Right. That's perfect.
Like I said, as an older dude in the game, man, I'm still sometimes caught up in old school thinking, mm-hmm. you know, and I need to jump out and break out of the old school way that was done before. You know, you need right. the studio and this, and you
it
need
needs to
an,
look
an
a
agent.
Certain way.
You need all of this bullshit. And I'm sorry if I'm cursing on the podcast, man. But
please,
fuck that.
Right. But you don't need all of that stuff, man. You don't need all that stuff.
It's inspiring, man.
I mean, it's a kid making money on the internet, bro, opening freaking toys.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is, and that's all they did was film this kid opening mm-hmm. some toys.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Millions.
You know, there are dogs that have a million followers.
Man.
Right. Right.
I've seen it.
So all I'm saying is to anybody that's asking, mm-hmm. my thing is quit asking how and go, when am I going to get this done?
Mm-hmm. Right. And don't ask how. If you're asking how, just stop asking and just do it.
Just mm-hmm. do it.
And the mistakes you make is going to tell you how.
Yeah.
The mistakes you make is going to tell you, okay, don't do this anymore because this isn't working. Or maybe this is working. It's hard to say what's not going to work.
Yeah.
You don't know. Until you
do it. A lot of times, people don't succeed because what they're doing, it doesn't work.
They stop. They don't succeed because what they're doing, they stop doing.
So okay,
they think it's not working.
And the only thing, and that's with the technical, you know, with the shooting and the filming. Man, listen, I tell everybody, man, if you want to write, the one thing you can do, first of all, read scripts.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
There's a couple of good books. Writers, hey yeah. man, Save the Cat.
Save great the Cat.
Book. Yeah.
My script is better than your script. Mm-hmm. Great, great book.
Right.
There are a few books, The Hero's Journey. There are a few books you can get that can help you. And I tell people, man, listen, writing is rewriting.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So if you've learned and you've got, there's nothing wrong with taking a class. Mm-hmm. I've taken several of them.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So take your class, bro. Go save your money, man, and go, hey, man, I'm going to go to the writer's boot camp, or I'm going to go to a class at my university. I'm going to go somewhere and I'm going to take a seminar. I'm going to take a workshop mm-hmm. for writing. Bro, I would tell people if you're coming, if you say, hey, man, I want to get in the LA scene, bro, if you want to come out here and you want to learn how to get into acting and writing, the first thing I tell you is, come out here and go to, if you would spend 6 weeks and go to a class and learn how to have a script at the end.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to come out here and you want to learn how mm-hmm. to act, go to a good acting class, find out who's the best teacher out here, mm-hmm. learn from them, and then go back home and do the shit
do
you're
your
doing.
Thing. Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
Bro, you don't need to live out here to do this, and you can do what you do someplace else.
Right.
So don't waste your money coming out here doing this. Mm-hmm. Get it done where you are.
I love it.
So,
I wanted to piggyback off of that, but
I'm sorry if I ran over.
Did we give you a chance to answer the question?
I
want to piggyback off of what he said.
I just want to
before we get into some awards.
Yes, piggybacking, and he said it. Don't start big. If you have a script, take a few pages out of that script and shoot a small version mm-hmm. of the storyline or a piece of the plot in that short thing. For example, before I started doing web series and shows and stuff like mm-hmm. that, I did 1 minute sketches. 1 minute sketches on Instagram. I never really got on the Vine. I never got into that Vine mm-hmm. wave because that was 6 seconds.
Right.
And then, on IG was 15 seconds. And mm-hmm. I started doing it then. And then, mm-hmm. It gave us a whole minute. I'm going to tell the story in a whole minute. When I first started going and the big job push started really making some noise, it was those 60-second sketches that turned into 3 minutes on YouTube and then Facebook.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then... Then they started asking for longer episodes of the little skit series that I was doing. And that's when I started doing, okay, I can do more. I can go, it takes longer, but I have an audience now that'll watch that. So start mm-hmm. small.
And then you get to the Outlaw Johnny back.
Right? Absolutely.
That's
where I'm trying to get to.
So
yeah.
So when you started doing your videos and sharing, did you already have a large following?
No, not at all.
So how did you get through that phase? Because I think this is where a lot of creators get thrown off, that phase where it seems like nobody's fucking paying attention, right? Like, you know, they're working hard. They
gotta keep going.
They've edited, you know, and they're putting what they feel is some of their best stuff out there.
Yeah.
And it's not getting a lot of views. It's not getting a lot. I feel like that's where
you have to start.
That's where people die. You see them start.
And
right?
put all that work in.
You see the 3 weeks and then you see the drop off.
You put
same
you,
with podcasts, right? Exactly. You see the 3 weeks and then the drop off.
Right.
So like, how did you get past that point?
I just started small, literally. Like, I'm gonna tell you something, and you're a part of that. I DP'd like a short film or like a short series with my boy Nate Jackson.
Nate Jackson.
Who played your son. You played his father.
Right.
And I think it was called Sweet Tone. Welcome back. Home Sweet Home.
Home Sweet
Home. Home Sweet Home. You played his dad.
Right.
And I shot that. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? So that's what I was doing before I started getting in front of the camera all the mm-hmm. time was... I was the cameraman
mm-hmm.
and I was shooting everybody seven. He did this long project, man, and he did a good job. He started breaking it down by episode. Each minute was an episode. It was the 11-minute short film that he broke down into 11 minutes. Mm-hmm. I mean, 1 minute at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was years ago. That's before I really started going with my stuff. So when I started doing my stuff, I'm not going to do a big project because you don't have an audience. No one cares yet.
Mm-hmm.
And they ain't been caring because I've been doing small stuff and they haven't been caring. I just started. I made a decision that I'm going to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I want to do forever. You know what I'm saying? Football was one of the things I wanted to do. I wanted to go to pros. I never got to the biggest the biggest stage.
Mm-hmm.
Football or film, that was my goal. Or both. film, football didn't take me there. Film, I started doing film. And mm-hmm. It's something I want to do forever. I'll do it for free because I love doing it. So I just started doing it every day. Every day, if I'm not shooting, I'm editing and I'm doing it every day until something happens, until my life changes financially or even artistically. Giving up wasn't in the plans no more. I've done that before. I would shoot 2 or 3 sketches a year at one point. So you can't get nothing done unless you go viral. But even then, you got to follow up with another project, another, something working. Else, something else, something else. You got to keep working. And if you're trying to go viral, you'll do something once or twice. And if it happens, it happens. If it don't, then you'll probably fall back and not do it again for another 10 months. Mm-hmm. You know, I got to a point where I went from two or three times a year to 2 or 3 times a day. I'm going to shoot 2 or 3 sketches today. Mm-hmm. Every day. That's dope. You know what I'm saying? And I kept going. Once I did that, and once I put myself in front of the camera, because like before, for years, all the comics know, I've been doing this since 2009, mm-hmm. stand-up comedy, you know, and the people I was writing for were comedians, and I was shooting for them. I was writing mm-hmm. something for them, and I had them shooting. I was behind the camera directing, mm-hmm. and then when I put myself in front of the camera and directed myself and had somebody else shoot, that's the one thing that's really kind of, you know, because the stuff I was writing, I could play that probably better than the guys I was having to play this character. You know what I'm saying? So I once I combined the two of my writing plus me in front of the camera, that's when things started working.
Dropping gems from Ja and Buddy. Okay. Mm-hmm. We gotta bring this thing to a close.
Oh, so
I know,
fast.
I know,
so
I know.
Fast, I was just having fun.
He was just cooking.
Yes.
But now I want you to put on your non-cast hat, but just as a regular viewer of the movie.
Okay.
We're going to give out some awards. Okay. All right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So for the outlaw Johnny Black, mm-hmm. who is the MVP of the movie? This could mm-hmm. be the character, group of characters. It could be a performance. What is the most important person, actor, character in the outlaw Johnny Black? Who's your MVP of the movie?
Buddy Lewis. No, I'm kidding.
Hey!
I'm messing with you. Yeah, you know what,
that's a tap-in play.
That's a very good question. I think for me, it was Mike. Yeah, Mike is the MVP, man. Mm-hmm. And then I would say equally... I think Erica Ash's character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know they were really MVPs of the film because they did the most. Byron Mims did great too, mm-hmm. man.
He did.
It was so many great performances, man.
Yeah,
to make the movie complete, you know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Yeah, Ja, who's your MVP?
Mike.
Yeah,
Mike. I agree because he did the most changing. I think he started off, this film was about Johnny Black getting revenge on the murder of his father.
Mm-hmm.
And he found a more important cause
in
the film, and that was to protect his town. You know what I'm saying? Yep. He found that he ended up caring for Jesse Lee. And so he changed, you know. So to me, as far as the movie, to see his transformation, and mm-hmm. I thought that was the dopest.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's the main character.
Yeah.
But sometimes the main character is not the MVP.
He's
for
not
us.
The MVP.
A lot of the time, the MVP isn't necessarily the main character. Yeah. In this case, I think it is. And the runner-up would be Erica Ash for sure because she sold it. She sold mm-hmm. it so much, so well.
Yeah.
And
I think it's Mike. And I think it's because we have to believe that the outlaw Johnny Black is a bad motherfucker.
Right.
Right. And even though, like the same way we believe that Black Dynamite
mm-hmm.
is, you know, and so I think he's the MVP because I think this movie asked him to do so many different things.
Right.
It asked him to be funny. Mm-hmm. It asked him to be strong.
Mm-hmm.
It asked him to be introspective.
Right.
It asked him to be romantic.
Yes.
You know, and so, and that's a mm-hmm. lot of shit for...
And he directed the whole thing.
Yeah, you know,
I'm gonna tell you, and I was trying to. Technically, there is nobody more important in the movie than mm-hmm. Mike because he directed, he acted, he did all those things. But when you're talking about when we're talking about the film itself, and I'm trying to be a fan mm-hmm. and not a technical person because I can do that
right.
a writer. You know, man, he should have said this and all that bullshit. But the character definitely had a arc that was pronounced, and it was a fun journey watching that character's arc from this vengeful, murderous kind of outlaw to this guy that was, hey man, you know what? I'm living for something else.
Yeah.
And that was the great part of the story, that this character moved from that murderous, you know, vengeful thing to this guy that changed that into protection for a town and a group of people and one person in general.
Yeah, yeah. He was gonna take that town's money.
He was up until the end. He was gonna take the money.
And I saw glimpses of him being, his character being solid when he didn't smash Bessie Lee.
Yeah.
Because he wanted them bad, but he kind of, because a real outlaw, not a real outlaw, a terrible person is going to take the advantage of the situation. Yeah.
I'm going to get them sisters.
I'm going to get them both. I'm smashing Bessie and Jesse. You know what I'm saying?
But Jesse is fine enough to make you change your ways.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like she's got that. She's got that. You know how, like, some women...
That thing.
But here's what's interesting. Mm-hmm. Some women are so fine, so beautiful, that you almost don't want to smash.
Right, yeah?
It's like...
That's crazy that you say that, because it's kind of true.
It's kind of like...
You'd be like,
I will smash.
See, I knew.
Hey,
I will smash your pretty ass.
But you understand the sentiment.
I know.
You understand the sentiment.
But I think it's the pedestal thing. You know, you put some women on a pedestal. It's like, oh, they're so beautiful.
It's how they carry themselves.
It's the class.
It's a class. I don't want to treat her like I'm going to treat this chick.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because listen, I guarantee you, if Halle Berry worked in a strip club, you wouldn't have the same.
right. Slide in.
It's the class factor.
It's a class thing.
And she brings a class and sophistication to the movie where it's like, if you don't fuck with her, you got to come correct.
Right.
And he was on bullshit.
Right.
He knew he was on there on bullshit.
And she, being who she was the lighthouse for him.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's literally, I think, his relationship with her, plus the reckoning of what his father was talking about.
Right.
Like, it all kind of, like, happens in a pretty cool moment. But I think, ultimately, she's the beacon that brings him in. He changes for her.
Oh.
Right? Like, man, you know, not even so much for the town. I think it's for her first.
And she's second, right? Vicariously, she's for the town. So, I get it.
Yeah.
And when he did that speech, that sermon, that he remembered from Reverend Percy's letter.
All those years in the
pews. I'm sorry. That he remembered from his dad's.
Yeah, from his dad's sermon.
It kicked in. He was like, oh, snap.
Yeah.
And not only did it kick in for the time for that sermon, it kicked in here for him. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
That
was another thing that made him change. It was dope. I think, and that's what said, when I say saved the movie, I told you my critique about it earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what saved the movie. I wanted more you, Tommy, and Kim.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as story and as far as seeing his arc, dope.
Yeah.
I think the only other thing that I would say small critique I had with him, I would like to have seen what the father's story was before. Yeah. There wasn't enough backstory for me.
Why was he so handy with the gun?
And
a reverend.
Why did the guys come after him? You know that, I have to go back and watch the movie again to clearly, because Mike subtly does things that you miss and you go, oh man, he did say that.
Mm-hmm.
I have to go back and look at it, but as I recall, there wasn't like how was Clancy. Clayton, rather.
Brett Clayton.
How was the father and Brett connected? There was something there, but I'd have to remember.
It
wasn't full enough for me. Like, hey, they were riding in a gang together, and he stole the money, did something. But
he tried to get out.
He
tried to do it with the Pops being such a great gunslinger,
right?
Shooting cars out the sky,
yeah.
And I think Brett Clayton was supposed to be the best gun in the West,
right?
So
at the very least,
that's what he explained. Was like, oh shit, you the best? Well, let me show you.
I'm the best. And that again, like I said, I would have to go back, but it and I mean to
how did the father get so handy other than...
I would have loved that. That's a really interesting story. He had to be... in my mind, I would want to know that he had a different life before the ministry.
I mean, that's great. That's great in classic Western trope.
Right.
Of like the changed man.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. We see that in a lot of times. In Unforgiven, like Clint Eastwood's character is one of the most clear examples of the changed man.
The changed man.
Which is like, you know, when you come to see him, he's got a family, he's got a farmer, maybe he's a minister, but back in the day, you was known as Tony Two Gun.
Tony Two Gun.
Right? Like, you know, you passed the price now, but you Tony Two Gun, and there's a reckoning for what you did, right?
Right.
So in this particular case, whatever he did to be that handy with the steel in that day and age, you know, made him a target.
Right.
Even just for reputation.
Right.
Even if he hadn't harmed anybody in the past.
Right.
Or there was nobody seeking revenge, word on the street say that you faster than me. I don't think you are.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's find out.
Right.
And
right.
I'm willing to die for it.
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah.
And Reverend was like, no, I got a wife and kids.
Yeah. I'm not trying
in the
to,
congregation. Yeah. No, sir. No, I'm not. Yeah. Back in the day, I would have mopped you probably.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. And another movie that's like that. That's like the guy, a changed man. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's not a blockbuster, but go see it anyways. It's one of my favorite films to watch at that time. I was in college, called A History of Violence.
Oh, History of Violence. Man, that movie's incredible.
I thought
that
was super dope.
One of the greatest movies ever.
Yeah.
I'll give you another corny one. It's not very good, but it's very stylized. Russell Crowe's character in Quick and the Dead.
Yeah,
Quick and the Dead. Yeah.
That's crazy. That was going to be my example before I brought up this one.
I liked Quick and the Dead.
That would be my point.
Also,
what's her name? A Long Kiss Goodnight.
Oh, A Long Kiss Goodnight.
The female version. Mm-hmm.
The female.
That was a great one with Samuel Jackson.
That's a Western.
A modern Western.
Right.
Yeah. Man, it's a few. And I'm going to ask you this before we go to before we end this with a few fists. If I could have you back, brother, I would love to have you back on other projects, other films that you enjoy.
Oh, man, please. Man, you know what? I'm a film buff. You know, I watch movies, man. And I watch stuff, you know, and because I write,
yes.
I want to see how to get from the beginning to the end. Because there's this thing, man, with writers, especially with Black films, there's always this thing where, how does the character relate, you know, and how do you, we need to find a heart and all that. You want to find out how to do that on the page.
Yeah. Right.
So I watch a lot of movies, and so I try to keep up with what's happening.
Yes.
You know, and be a part of it. So I'm a film guy. I like movies.
I love to hear it. So I definitely have you back, brother.
Yes, please have me back.
Yes, indeed.
I don't even have to be in the movie.
Yeah.
Right.
No, we're just gonna have you do some of your faves.
Yeah, we want
for sure.
Have you do some of your favorites, man.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Okay, so on a scale of 5 Black Fists, all time classic, 1 Black Fist, Black movie that got made.
Right.
How do you rank Outlaw Johnny Black? What's your rank?
That's a good question, man.
5 all-time classic to 1 a movie that got made.
Okay.
You go first.
Okay, I'll go first. I'm going to give Outlaw Johnny Black a solid strong 3.
Mm-hmm.
A solid strong 3. If I'm being honest, there were some great things in there. I have my critique about it, and it's the type of film that I will watch again.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And it's a great, because I'm a filmmaker, aspiring to do what he did, shoot a feature that I wrote and that I directed and I starred in. That's a heavy lift.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how hard it is because I'm doing it now. I just finished a project, season 3 of The Lesbian Homie. And that's in post right now.
Right.
And it's heavy. It was tough for me. People around me saw the overwhelmingness and energy I was giving out sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So I know how hard it is to do that, especially at the level that he's at. I mean, even with so much more of a budget, I'm sure. And so many people, and it's a Western. Those are not easy things to do. It's a period piece. It's a strong 3. I will watch it again, and because I would love to one day talk to him about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I will tell him why I gave it a 3 if he ever watches this, or I will tell him in person. And
it's definitely something that I'm glad he did. I want to see more of it. That's kind of why it could have been a stronger number if for my things, the things I wanted to see in it. Mm-hmm. I wanted it to be a funnier, and it was funny, mm-hmm. but I wanted it to be funnier. I'm not saying it had to be a Black Dynamite, not at mm-hmm. all. But it's tough to do when it's a Western,
yeah,
period piece,
yeah,
and on top of that, love story in some way, a parody. It's a lot
happening in this movie.
It's not easy to do. It's not easy to do at all. But I think that it was definitely a solid three for me.
I'm gonna give it a solid. I'm gonna go with a four, mm-hmm. and I'll say, you know, four and why I'm diminished, like all time classic. I think there are some movies that are just like you said, the genre, the rip roaring funny throughout the thing.
Right.
Like, I would give Black Dynamite a five.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
You know what I'm saying?
Black Dynamite is a five. This is for sure.
You know, easy. But this is a four for me for the reasons that you said there were a lot of avenues and areas that he was trying to cover.
Right.
That sometimes I feel like you can't service everything mm-hmm. with equal quality.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And what I mean by that is the story, the funny, the humor, the love, you know, all of those genres come into play when you're watching a movie,
mm-hmm. right.
and character development and all that kind of stuff. So I think a four for me, I would watch this movie again. Mm-hmm. But like I said, it's one of those things where I think it was a different type of movie, and it sort of, I don't want to say fooled you, but it was one of those things where you had to watch it for different things. Yep. It wasn't an all-out comedy.
Yep. Yep.
It wasn't a full-out Western.
Yep. Right.
It wasn't a love story. You know, it had a lot of different elements that you needed to watch it.
Revenge movie, love story. Revenge,
right.
Yep. Yeah, it was all kind of stuff on there.
And even a buddy comedy, because, mm-hmm. you know, him and Byron Mims.
Yeah,
you know,
they be doing their thing.
Right, mm-hmm. so
Bullhorn.
So there are a lot of different things, but I definitely a solid four.
For me, I remember one time on a report card, I got a C in math, but I got an E for effort, an E standard for excellent.
Right.
And I remember my dad being okay with that. Mm. He was like, you got a C, but the E for effort means that you were trying.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to put you on punishment for this C because,
facts.
Because your teacher says that you're trying.
Right.
I want you to get better.
Mm-hmm.
Don't stop trying. But that E for effort saved my ass on that particular report card. Michael Jai White gets an E for effort.
Right.
For attempting this.
Right.
For attempting this movie, for attempting this genre. I think that it's a three black fists for everything that I've talked about earlier, mm-hmm. right? Because I think it does have, it's a Gemini. It's got two different movies in one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you extract one of those parts, any one of those parts, I think that like the grade elevates, right? So I think it suffers a little bit from its ambition. Right,
man,
you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, you know, just in terms of the execution, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Michael Jai White is making the films I would love to make,
and I can see the brilliance in this direction.
Exactly,
I can see the brilliance in this direction.
So there's flowers to be given
for sure.
If Black Dynamite is a five, just simply the way the scale works, this can't be a five because this film is not as good as Black Dynamite.
Right.
Or I didn't enjoy it as much. Let me not say it's not as good. I didn't enjoy it as much as I did Black Dynamite. But all in all, I'm happy as part of the black film catalog. I'm happy I watched it.
Yes.
And for anybody that hasn't watched it, watch it. But remove all that Black Dynamite shit from your mind, right?
Yeah.
Like, you aren't getting a sequel to Black Dynamite.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Watch it for the genre pick that it is.
Right. Amen.
And that's it.
Yes, I would give that.
And that's
definitely.
It.
Yes, indeed.
Boom.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I got to tell y'all, next time I come back, man, we're going to go back and we're going to talk about Black Diamond because there's so much behind the scenes.
Oh yeah, we got to do a special episode.
Yeah, you know, like where, you know, you find out how the movie got made. Where
that's the
got
stuff I want to know.
We got to do that.
All that
know.
Kind of
we
stuff,
gotta
man.
Do that.
You know, and Mike, man, is man. I'm so proud of him, man. Just as a brother, making black movies, putting black folks to work.
Hell yeah!
So that's a good thing.
Hell
too.
Yeah!
So yeah.
He's definitely that.
Yeah.
This is great.
And his wife, Jillian. I got to say, hey, she's a Bison. Howard Bison. Yes, hey, Jillian.
Howard Bison for sure. Yes, indeed.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, right. Man. Thank you for having me, man. I appreciate it, man.
We're going to come back and do some of your favorite movies.
Oh, for sure, bro.
Come back and just, you know. I mean, I think, like, the bits that you guys did just about creating was, to me, some of the most valuable parts of the show. Right? Like, you know, and we can have that conversation. So,
anytime.
Come back.
Yes, sir.
Anytime, man. And I promise, man, just let me know, man. I won't do no BS. Like, I put this in the calendar, bro.
It's all good.
I kept saying myself, last night, I was like, put this in the calendar. I was like, hey, man, 4 o'clock.
Thank you so much for being here.
I had to keep saying it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I love it.
Yes, indeed. And also, got to throw another love out there for Omega Sci-Fi, brother.
Room to the good, bro.
Man.
Hey, man, you got to come to the Cuse Friends show, man. You got to come.
Yes, I will.
We're doing another one probably in June, 1st of June or July.
Okay.
Make sure you come.
Yes, sir.
Are you going to perform?
Of course, if I come here for
sure. Okay, good. All right, man.
Yes,
okay, so you're on the show. I'm putting you on the show now.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you a date, and you're going to be on the show. So.
Dope. Yeah. I'll be there.
All right, great.
I'll be there.
There it is.
Rudolph.
There, Rudolph.
There it is.
Absolute.
Cool.
Man, this is another episode of Blackbusters, the best movie review podcast in the world.
In the world, Craig.
I'm your host, Big Ja, mm-hmm. along with my co-host,
Tony Two Gun.
Yes, indeed. And our special guest, The Cuse,
mm-hmm.
Buddy Lewis.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. And he will be back.
Thank you.
Absolutely, man.
Hell yeah, buddy.
For one, I just want to pick your brain about your experience in this business.
So much more.
There's so much more I can learn and I would love to learn.
Yeah, pick this brain.
Yes, sir.
Pick it up. Because it's really almost exposed.
Yeah, we got extra.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I mean,
Ball Brothers podcast.
The Ball Brothers podcast. Yes, indeed, man. Catch us next time, man. Be good or be good at it. We out of here, man. Peace. To the max.
Blackbusters.